Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
I've chosen two portions of Scripture tonight, one in Romans, the other in Hebrews. Romans chapter 4. Praise God. Romans chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 2. Most people that come here know a lot of my testimony of God just having such awesome mercy on me and rescuing me out of a life of just plain hell. And not only rescuing, but restoring. Because God's not only in the rescue business, He's in the restoration business. He'll restore you. Amen. And I thank God for how He's restored me and the wisdom that He used to do that. But it also has made me very aware, and I've been aware of this for many, many years, about how necessary it is to make application of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus to our lives. For without it, it has no effect. And that begins with the new birth. Now we know, because we've studied the Word enough to see in the Word, that we each possess a belief system. We know, according to the Word of God in Romans chapter 10, that it's our heart and our mouth. And that's a belief system that you can connect to anything you want to believe. But the best thing to connect it to is the Word of God. Because the Word of God empowers you to believe it. You got to make yourself believe other stuff. Amen. You actually have to have physical proof for you to believe, because human faith is not divine faith. You get divine faith from the Word. It's in the Word. Everybody say, in the Word. So when I begin to get a little enlightenment, a little understanding on the Word, and even among my peers that I was in Bible school with way back in 1984, 40 years ago, I really didn't see them applying it to their life. Two of us were. Me and a guy named Daniel Matai. And Daniel pastors about a 10,000-member church in Timișoara, Romania right now. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, in going the next step from looking at the beautiful portrait of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, pouring out of His blood and seating at the right hand of the Father. That's what the redemptive act was. It began when He came into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, the prayer in the garden, the taking of the Lord Jesus Christ, His trial before Pontius Pilate, His subsequent torture and crucifixion, His death upon the cross, His burial in the tomb, then 3 days later, rising from the dead. Amen? Now let me say this. A lie does not carry enough power to last the test of time. Did you know that? Only truth can stand the test of time. A lie can't do it. You know, I heard one guy say a lie goes around the world before the truth can get up and put its pants on. Well, that may be true, but it's not going to last. Once truth does get up and put its pants on and gets going, it'll stay. It'll stick. Now, we see this portrait in the Gospels. And man, we've had guys come here. We had 2 years ago, Pastor Christopher Alam came, and I told him, I said, Christopher, I said, you preach 3 nights on Jesus. I don't care what it's about, but you preach 3 nights. And then he ended that last night preaching on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was the most amazing message I've ever heard on that subject. And he painted with words that day of days. What must that have been like to be alive on the earth? You know, an eclipse didn't take place. People say, well, an eclipse just took place. You know, No. The Bible says there was darkness over the entire face of the earth. Amen. Whatever phenomenon did take place, it stopped light from getting to the earth, because the creator of that light was dying for the sins of you and me. Amen. And then his purity and innocence and everything about him that made him who he was being violated, even to the point that he suffered the death of a criminal. Amen. Innocent blood for those that aren't innocent. He took our punishment. He took our shame. He took our sickness. He took our disease. He took everything that was wrong with man and everything that its final effect causes death. He took that upon himself. Isaiah 53 paints that picture. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. We see that. We see that. But many times we stand apart from that, not realizing that when the Apostle Paul came on the scene and began to write the redemptive realities of what God has done for us in Christ, it really wasn't a beautiful portrait or a tapestry. It was more like an x-ray. You say, why would you say that? I said, because in looking behind the scenes or seeing in the spirit realm, Paul saw us identified with everything that Jesus did. Amen. Previous generation that I'm a part of spent an enormous amount of time teaching on the subject of faith to receive. But the problem with that was is a lot of people only kept that idea of faith or that concept of faith in the realm of the material, where it was my experience that it had to be used in the spiritual first for it to work correctly in the natural realm. You say, well, what does that mean? I had to discover the realities of what it meant when my pastor and my teacher got up and said, now I'm going to teach you what you have, what you can do, and who you are in Christ and what that means. And then he said this, I'm going to teach you the concept of faith so you can apply it to your life. So I had it coming from Pastor John Osteen, but then there was another friend of mine. He's still a good friend of mine today, a Pastor Mark Hankins from Alexandria, Louisiana, great redemptive teacher. And we had known each other since we were kids, because he was from his daddy pastored in West Columbia. We did preach many meetings for Mark in Alexandria and many meetings for Pastor Beebe in West Columbia. But he had become a redemption fanatic. You know, I mean, he just had poured his life into it and just studied it out. And he began to send me all of his tapes, and back then it was cassette tapes, and I began to just listen to them over and over again. And I was going to Bible school, and I began to read E.W. Kenyon's books about who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. And I begin to realize without the concept of our belief system being enacted. Now listen to this, so simple. You say, what do you mean? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. What do you believe in your heart? What God's Word equips you to believe? What do you confess with your mouth? What God's Word equipped your heart to believe? You confess that with your mouth. And you do it over and over and over repetitively for how long, Pastor? The rest of your life. If you want to live in the life it produces. Amen? Because that word, what Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're what? They are spirit and they are life. So listen, every time you're speaking the word of God, you are speaking in the spirit realm and you are speaking the life of God. And you're speaking that life to yourself. You're speaking that life into yourself. Amen? And Jesus said this, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. So as I begin to do this, as I begin to apply this to my life, it began to break me free of probably 15 years of thinking that was so radical that even today I have to fight things that try to rise up in my mind. We were watching a program the other day, like one of those cop programs or something, and they pulled back a mattress. People were hiding drugs in their mattress and stuff like that. And they pulled this spoon out that was full of these little black things. And Leah goes, what's that? And I didn't even, consciously, I did not even think in my conscious mind. There was no conscious thought there. But the information just poured out of me. Well, that guy probably a junkie. He bought a quarter ounce, got 16 fixes out of it. Those are his cottons. How many knows what that means? If you do, you're in trouble. Amen. I mean, I said that and I was kind of shocked. I said it to her. She's kind of looking at me like, how would you have that information? Well, I do. Amen. So you've got to understand that all of us have a challenge. Because you said, well, I was never a junkie or a drug addict. Or anything, but still, your human thinking will destroy you just as bad as junkie thinking will. It absolutely will. because your human thinking goes against the grain of God's reality and God's revelation. But when you make a decision, I'm going to think the thoughts of God, I'm going to see myself the way God sees me, and I'm going to talk about myself the way God talks about me, not the way society or my family or anybody else talks about me. I'm going to begin to talk about myself like God talks about me. So now here we are on what we call Good Friday. And on Good Friday, what is celebrated is that day in which Jesus was taken and he was crucified on Good Friday, so to speak. But there was so much more going on there than just a crucifixion that we see the portrait of. God was reaching down through all of time and pulling every heart in that would ever dare to be a whosoever that would ever call on his name. And then he demonstrated his love by allowing his son. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And it says of Jesus that he endured the suffering and the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. What was his joy? It was you. You were his joy. That's why he endured the suffering and the shame of the cross. But then the Apostle Paul, he talks strange. Peter said, he says things that are hard to understand. So we're going to go look at just a little bit of what Paul said that will, I hope, will stimulate your belief and your confession of yourself that you will use your faith for what? The identity change that must be applied. You are a new creature, but you have to become one. Remember what Peter said there in Acts chapter 2, save yourself from this wicked and untoward. He's not talking about eternal salvation. Only Jesus can save you from that. For that. But you've got to realize God's given you all the tools, faith, the power of the Holy Ghost, everything you need to do what? To change your identity into what God says you are. Because the second you got born again, everything became new. And the way you were viewed in the spirit realm completely changed. God saw you differently, and so did the devil. So you've got to begin to see yourself as God sees you, or else you're going to be weak and helpless against any sin that's trying to tempt you. See, that's what sin does. It comes in the form of temptation. But you've got to realize you're as saved as you are healed. You're as healed as you are delivered. You're as delivered as you are healed. You're as healed as you are saved. You say, well, I'm really struggling with this and I'm really struggling with that. Well, then there needs to be some application of that power into that area where you're struggling. Amen. Now notice this. Did I tell you Romans? We're in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3. I'm going to read here in the King James. Let me open this other one up because if I don't, I won't read it. It's really good here in the Passion Bible. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. What is that? As many of us, we can say it like this, know ye not, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Not a drop of water in there. Amen? Not a drop of water. How do you know when it's water baptism? It mentions water. Pretty simple to figure out. Amen? How do you know it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, three times it talks about tongues, two times it's inferred. It's pretty easy. So know ye not that as many of us were what? Baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into. Don't you find this a strange scripture? Well, shouldn't it be, we're baptized into his glory. We're baptized into his power. We're baptized into his holiness. You could come up with a better word, but that's not the word God used, because he says, don't you know when you got born again, you were baptized or you were immersed into his what? Death. And see, that's the problem with the church. They've never dared to go into the scriptures and probe the reality of what was the death of Christ? What did it do for me? How did it affect my life? See, Paul saw it like this in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Well, if you were standing next to him and you were John or Peter, you could say, no, wait a second. Well, how can you say you were crucified with Christ? I didn't see you there. I saw a thief. I saw another thief. And I saw Jesus hanging in the middle. I didn't see you anywhere around there. Well, obviously, Paul was seeing something Peter wasn't. Amen. I mean, literally, Paul said it like this. The world, listen to me, go study the Bible. The world will be judged by my gospel. Have you ever read that in the Bible? That's exactly what Paul says. It's going to be judged by my gospel. By my gospel. So he saw something that Peter didn't see. Through revelation, he understood that everything that Jesus did in that redemptive procession to get to the right hand of the Father, he was included in. And so were you. So his cross was Paul's cross, is your cross. His death was Paul's death, is your death. His burial is Paul's burial, is your burial. His resurrection is Paul's resurrection, is your resurrection. Amen? I'm just throwing Paul in there because he's the one that wrote it. Amen? God inspired him to write it by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that also means every reward that Christ has gotten, including that glorified body, belongs unto you because you made a decision to use the faith that God has given you to become born again. But God wants you to grow in that into the reality of what He has done for you in Christ in making you a brand new creature. Now notice. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so, we walk, notice this, in newness of life. People say, oh, I just want my life to change. No, you want a new life. Because if your life changes, it can change right back. See, the weather changes. But when it comes to life, you want newness. Everybody say newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of, here we go again, of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, now here we go, that our old man is crucified with Him. Well, I didn't see you there. What old man is he talking about? He's not talking about your father, your grandfather. He's talking about the inward man. It's in one translation, it says the hidden man of the heart. It's talking about the spirit man on the inside. The part of you that when sin revived, you died. It wasn't your soul that died. It wasn't your flesh that died. It was the spirit man on the inside of you. And he did not cease to exist. He just became separated from God. So now you have to understand a little bit about the word death as it relates to humanity. Not as it relates to the waterfowl world or the white-tailed deer world or the speckled trout world. You say, why? Because they're dualistic. We're not. We're spirit, soul, and body. They just have a soul and a body. See, that's why you can train a horse. We were watching a deal today, yesterday or today. A guy had one of these acts in a rodeo and had a Mustang horse that he had trained. Well, I'd actually trained some Mustang horses. We were, you know, talking about they're pretty smart. They make a good cow pony. Amen. But they're not, listen, they don't have a spirit man on the inside or a spirit horse on it. They have a soul, but they're not made in the likeness and image of God. Only we are. Amen? You notice all of these attempts to try to humanize the animal world. You can't do it. It doesn't work. And listen, we love our pets, we love our dogs, we love our... But in reality, here's the deal. We're the only creatures on this earth that are spirit, soul, and body. And when Adam sinned, our family died. Now let me say that again. It says it in Romans. I just back up the next chapter. Wherefore, as by one man's sin or trespass, death entered in. So that what? All have died. Now that doesn't mean we cease to exist. What does it mean? The word death, when it comes to the reality of the human experience, means separation. Spiritual death, separated from God. You live separated from God. When you physically die, second type of death, physical death. What is physical death? The spirit separated from the body. The spirit separated from the body. I heard a story of a funeral, young guy in the funeral business, and a young boy was brought in that had drowned, and the parents were just. You know, couldn't be consoled, and this guy was kind of in a panic, didn't know what to do. Went over, so he just went over, and he just took his fist and went boom, hit him on the chest. He did it again. Boom, hit it on the chest. And then he looked up at the parents and said, see, he's not here. And that literally helped those parents begin to deal with that situation by realizing he ain't here. He's not here. So that's what physical death is, our spirit separating from our body. People think, well, I don't know if that's real. Listen, walk around with me a little bit. Back during that COVID thing, I prayed with people that were right with God on their way to heaven. I prayed with people that they weren't right with God till I got there. And death had a hold of them. And you can see the look in their eye. You can see the panic in their eye. They know something is fixing to happen here. I'm fixing to be separated from my body. I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea where I'm going. And when you pray with them and you say that name of Jesus, the peace of God just comes right in. Oh, it's a miracle. It's a glorious thing. Then there's eternal death. Any person separated from God that experiences physical death will have to go to a place of eternal separation from God, and that is not God's will. God's will is that all should be saved and all should come to the knowledge of God. Amen? Now, here, we'll go just a little bit further. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, I like verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but unto he liveth unto God. Likewise, here we go, church, island church, Christian believer. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Have you done that? Have you done that? If you've not, then you're subject to it. That means you're a slave to it. That's a lot of people, they get into sin. I can't get out. I can't get out. You're a slave. The only way you're going to get out is with your belief system. What you believe in your heart, what you confess with your mouth, and if you need the power, you go into the Word of God. You can get good counseling. You can use psychology. That may or may not help, but this is a guaranteed deliverance that if you will begin to say what God says about you, beginning with, I am dead. Now, how can you say that? What would that mean? Well, Jesus upon the cross. We mentioned the scripture in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was on him. By his stripes, we are healed of God. Amen? So he came to the earth. God came to the earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what? To identify with humanity. Everybody say identify. Identify. Now, you know, if you wanted to identify with a certain group of people, what would you do? If you wanted to identify with the bikers or the cowboys or the surfers, you'd have to do what? You'd have to look like them, talk like them, walk like them, be involved in what they're involved in. Amen? There was a documentary about, this is a long time ago. This is about how do dogs see things. So they put this camera on this little dachshund. And they had this screen, so they were like, well, dogs don't see things like, he was down on the ground, everything, just looking at people's ankles and under the counter and stuff. He had no view, even though he was in the same world. Even though he was in the same world, his view was very different. So here came Jesus to do what? These three words. Remember these three words. Identification. Everybody say identification. Number one, Jesus came to this earth to identify with you. He was made a human being. Philippians chapter 3. He was made in the likeness of man, became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So he came to do what? To identify with you. Then he becomes what? Your substitution. You don't have to go to the cross. Why? He did and provided the power, the same power that raised him from the dead. He supplies that power to you if you know how to use it, if you know how to work it. Listen, man, I worked on these high lines and stuff all around. I was deathly afraid of electricity, and I was a lineman. And they taught us how to walk up to those poles. You know, you walk up to those poles that are grounded. You don't just walk up there and grab one of those metal stakes or stick your foot in that thing. If that ground is broke and there's a transformer up, that thing could fry you right then and there. So we go up there like this. Feel it with the back of your hand. Because if you grab it, it grabs you. Amen. So you got to understand, that's exactly what the word is like. You grab it, it grabs you. And it won't let go of you unless you let go of it. So you come in. He identifies so that he might be our what? Substitute. So his cross becomes our cross. His place of death, listen, his place of death is the place where you can die to anything that has tormented you or caused you to be dysfunctional in any way. But you've got to go to the cross to die. Well, how do I do that? I heard that for years. I thought, what do? You go there, what? In your faith, by what you believe in your heart. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I yet live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. You say that day after day after day, week after week after week. Yeah, next thing you know, it becomes a part of you. And you step into what? He came down to identify. He became your substitution. But by your effort in faith, you step into union with him. He ain't sick. He ain't broke. He ain't depressed. You step into union with him. Listen, this takes a lot of the effort out of you trying to take a singular problem in your life and deal with it by faith. Why don't you just get into the redemptive realities and begin to lift your hands and thank God, hallelujah, I don't have to live like that anymore. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that temptation. You got to learn to speak to it. Tormenting thoughts, you got to open your mouth and say, I will not entertain you, you lying devil. In the name of Jesus, leave my mind alone. You say, what if that don't work? Say it louder. How bad you want to be free? I mean, do you want to live in the torment of your flesh and of the devil and of this crazy world and everything is doing? You better get the word in your mouth, get it in your heart, and begin to apply it against all your insecurities, all the things that keep you, hold you back, and make a decision. I'm going to become the Superman or the Superwoman that God has called me to be. And when I mean super, I mean supernatural. Amen. How's my time? Oh, my goodness. Well, we better wind it up. Likewise, let me read this, we'll wind it up. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know what this is saying? Get with it. Use everything you got to serve me, to worship me, to praise me, to glorify me, to magnify. I mean, that's what it means. Everything you've got, you use your members. See, when did I say that? Maybe Wednesday night, where I said, I believe God loves a thoroughbred sinner more than he does some old lukewarm Christian. I love God. Amen. You can't let the devil beat you up like that no more. Beat your mind up, your thought life. You think you got it all figured out? You don't. This thing is crumbling so fast and deteriorating so quick. You better get something working in your life that has a supernatural edge to it so that when you do fall into a situation, you have something. A lot of people, they're just fearful of anything. You better have something. Amen. Because I guarantee you, this world, the way it's going, you're going to need it. Glory. Real quick, let's look at Hebrews just for a second. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. We'll close with this. Oh, yeah, I got to read that. This is cool. Go to Hebrews. Go to chapter 2, verse 14, real quick. Chapter 2, book of Hebrews, Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death, here we go again. It's amazing how much Paul talks about death. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now think about this. In the wisdom of God, he sends his only begotten son to the earth. The word of God comes and is made flesh in the womb of a virgin girl. And Jesus walks on the earth 33 and a half years. 3.5 years he's anointed by the Holy Ghost, does signs, wonders, and miracles. That shows us that he set aside his deity. For 30 years he did nothing until he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. In those 3.5 years, he showed the world God's nature. That God forgives, that God heals, that God delivers, that God heals the broken heart, that God supplies, that God controls the weather. Come on, church. I mean, he showed us the love of God. He showed us the mercy of God. He showed us the compassion of God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth who went about doing good. That's why we say God is a good God. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? And to deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's number one fear of death. Let me read this here. Man, it says it so good in the Passion. Let me get over here. Let me read. Since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did this so that he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. By embracing death, Jesus set free those who lived their entire lives in bondage or slavery to the tormenting dread of death. For it is clear that he didn't do this for the angels, but for the sons and daughters of Abraham. This is why he had to be a man, to take hold of our humanity in every way. He made us his brothers and sisters and became our merciful and faithful king priest before God, as the one who removed our sins to make us one with him. He suffered and endured every test and temptation so that he can help us every time we pass through the ordeals of life. Listen to it in the Amplified. Amplified says, for because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, or tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry and assist and relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried and who are therefore being exposed to suffering. How's he going to come? Quickly. To assist and relieve. Okay, let me close all these books. Here's Jesus. He's been beaten. He carries that cross up Golgotha's hill. They nail his hands and feet. He bears a crown of thorns upon his head. You can go to the keyboard, Brother Frank. He bears a crown of thorns upon his head. The Roman lictor has laid his back open. The psalmist said, he's plowed my back and laid the furrows deep. So the blood ran down his back of his legs, chest, his head, was in his eyes. And he died this horrible, agonizing death that no other man has ever died. Because on the cross, because he was God, he could begin to accumulate in that realm of the Spirit, where everything happens. We're just a result of what happens in that realm. He began to gather. He began to accumulate. He began to grab. He was what? Here he is. He's our substitute. And he gets it all upon him. Isaiah the prophet says, when I looked upon him on the cross, couldn't tell he was a man. He was so visibly tormented. And on that cross, he made two loud proclamations. The first one was this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Doesn't sound like a man fixing to die and going to paradise. Not to me. Then he cried out this, "It is finished." The Bible says he gave up the ghost. What happened was his human spirit that was untainted by Adam's fall had accumulated every wrong you have ever done. Every wrong you will ever do was on the spirit being. The motivation for you to do it was there. God knew what iniquity could do to motivate the human race to sin and trespass His law. And Jesus took it all. Not only that, He took every sickness and every disease. If you read the blessings of Abraham in Deuteronomy 28, it says even those that are not written in this book. That means he was looking to the future, things that would come up in the future. All of that. Think of all of the bondage to sexual perversion and alcoholism and drugs and all that spirit realm in which all of these demonic entities try to put men and women into slavery for their lust. He took it all. Now think of this. One of the greatest pieces of wisdom in the universe. You got to see this. He's got it all. He's got it all. See, that's a lot of people. That's why you don't have faith for what you need many times, because you think He left out a part that you need. No, He's got it all. He's got it all. So what does He do? When He gets it all, what does He do? He dies. Don't you know that when you're baptized into Christ, when you're born again into His what? Into His death. Why? Because it separates you from everything that happened to you because of your first birth. It separates you in the realm of the Spirit. You are stripped free of that. Amen? You're stripped free of it. It's not there anymore. But it has done something very insidious to you. It's gone. Everybody say it's gone. Motivation's not there. But it has trained your mind. And it has trained your flesh. And sometimes, listen, it can put deep, deep inroads into your flesh and into your mind. And God knew that. So He supplied us with not only the power of His death to separate us from that, but the power of His resurrection to live apart from it. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? And as glorious as all this is, it will never work for you until you begin to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. That's the secret. That's the key that unlocks the power. The power's there. Power's there. The power's there. That's the secret that unlocks it, is what you believe and what you say. People can hear this, go out the door and say, "Yeah, I don't believe any of that. You just had the seed stolen from you." Because that's the first thing the devil does. Second thing he does is cares and distractions and all that, they steal the revelation from us. Then the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, they'll come to. But you know, the Bible says there are those that receive that seed. And it begins to operate and begins to work in their life. And I've watched it for 40 years of my life. Number one, it kept me sane. I don't have a good history of sanity. Really. Not at all. I could have very easily ended up in an institution my whole life. Easily. But it kept me sane. Delivered my mind that was tormented by devils. I wasn't possessed by none, but I was sure obsessed with some. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to tell you the truth? I had to fight. There came some times when I was like, I'm ready to give up, and God sustained me. God sustained me. But you got to fight. Because that way of thinking will kill you. that way of thinking that when you think death, when you think sin, when you think, when you keep your mind, listen, those things will destroy your life. And like I said the other day, as we live in this exponential curve of time, and if you stay on the glory side of that, that's great. You say, well, because faith, things that it took faith years to appropriate, now you can get in weeks. Things that took months to appropriate, you can get in days just by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth and standing on the Word of God and rejoicing that it's yours. But the same thing is true of sin. And sin is working so fast right now. I was talking to one of our law enforcement officers, and we were talking about, you know, the difference between the drug world of the 60s and 70s and what goes on today. And this individual was well aware of what went on back then. He's a little older gentleman. And he said, you know, he said, I would watch people back then. And it would take men or women, it would take them sometimes 2 to 3 years. If they got on drugs, about 2 to 3 years. And then they'd either end up in a divorce court, end up in jail. He said, I'm telling you, I see them today. In 6 weeks, they're done. They're done. If they live, if they survive. So I tell you, there's a better way to live. So I began right then and there every day to say, Father, I thank you. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to drug addiction. I'm dead to perverse lifestyles. I'm not going to think that stuff anymore. And listen, I was supplied with many of realities that can produce thoughts in your mind that I had to get rid of. It's one thing to fantasize. It's easy to defeat fantasies. But if it's real life, let me tell you, honey, if it's real life, if you've had years of hard sin, you better go to work. You better go to work. I had to go to work. I mean, every day I'd get up, thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm dead. I'm dead to addiction. I'm dead to drugs. I'm dead to that perverse lifestyle. I'm dead to that criminal mindset. Thank you, Father. I'm crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ raised from the dead, even so I shall walk in newness of life. Thank you, Lord, for the newness of life. I still do that. 40 years I've been doing that. And I sleep at night. She has to send the dog to wake me up in the morning. Well, it's not duck season. I mean, you know, I used to get up at dawn when it ain't duck season. Amen. And I have peace and joy. That doesn't mean I don't fight any fights, have any drama or problems. No. Just means through them all, I rest in Him. I've learned to rest in Him. I've learned to walk in faith. I've learned to have peace. And I don't even recognize that guy from 40 years ago. I have no idea who he is. I can show you where he died. And I'm not going to take you to a grave. I'll show you in the Word where he died. Amen? And I guarantee you can die right there too. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful, powerful thing. Let me say that again. The cross of the Lord Jesus. And if we could just tap the power of the cross, much less we're going to get off on the resurrection on Sunday. Oh my goodness. See, the cross delivers us out of. The resurrection brings us into. Oh, come on. I said the cross delivers us out of. It brings us out of Egypt. I tell you what, but the resurrection, it brings us into the promised land. Hallelujah. Healing, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, prosperity, joy. Everybody say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. I'm crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Yet not I. Yet not I. But Christ. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave Himself for me. Thank you, Lord. I'm buried with Him by baptism into Christ, that like as He was risen from the dead, I also walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we have all kinds of wonderful testimonies of the power of God. Miracles we've seen. I was talking to somebody the other day about a lot of the healing power that we witnessed back in the 90s and into the early 2000s when the charismatic move was still moving, we were still traveling. That's that same healing power still available. But see, a lot of people don't realize that there are men and there are women that are anointed by God that flow in those healing gifts and that healing power. We just don't have anybody that's active right now, so we're living by faith. I'm believing God that much of the anointing I used to walk in comes back. I sense it coming back. Amen. But that's not the greatest miracle is me. Period. Because you don't know. Now, Alan and Pat do. Not even Leah does. But Alan and Pat were in our family when I was really messed up. And they can tell you, without a doubt, this is a miracle. This is an absolute miracle of God. An absolute miracle of God. And I give him all the glory, give him all the credit. I say it all the time. All of the success, he gets all the glory. All the failure is mine. All the failure is mine. But he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. I said, he gets all the glory. Isn't God good? Are y'all ready to receive communion tonight real quick? Praise God. Let's make sure everybody has the communion implements here. If you don't, raise your hand. Our ushers will help. Now, this was by design tonight. I really didn't have intention to lay hands on people or minister. You know, we want to do what the Holy Ghost says. But now, this is going to kind of complete it tonight. We took communion a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Wasn't it, Roland? When was third Sunday on our mission Sunday. And I did a pretty strong teaching on communion that night about how serious it is to take communion, how this ain't no game, and how you mess this up, you get sick and die. I mean, that's what the Word says, amen? So this is our opportunity to what? To judge ourselves, not to judge those around us, but to judge ourselves. And I tell you, that needs to be an ongoing evaluation in your life. I mean, there's so many areas that I've learned in my attitude, my heart. There's so many areas. I mean, I truly believe the scripture where Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Amen? Well, I don't think ministry 24 hours a day is abundant life, because I've seen it kill people before their time. So I've got a life. I've got a beautiful wife and daughter, wonderful home, but I've got a life that I live. I have a ministry. It is my life, but I have other things that are part of my life that I have to deal with the public. I have to deal with other people. I have to deal in some pretty crazy situations, and I have to be a righteous man in the midst of it all. So I made a decision a long time ago. There's no difference between the way I act right here and the way I act anyplace else. It's opened more doors for me. It's given me more favor. I mean, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at what God has done. All the things I thought I'd have to quit doing, God just took it and enhanced them all, caused us to be blessed. And sometimes when I sit back and think about what we've experienced, you know, we think about, because Alan and Pat were involved with us in Hawaii. And what a supernatural thing that was. Everything about how I ended up there and how we were told there's no way we would be received. And we ended up in almost 15 years of ministry there. And we're just tremendously blessed. It just blows me away to think that I lived that. And to what we saw in Ireland, that blows me away to think I lived that. All the traveling, all those meetings, people touched by God. My memory now, I think about that instead of bad memories of the past, good memories. 40 years of wonderful, man, I tell you, and then I look at it and I think, how did we do that? How did we go there? How did we do that? When we first started going to Nicaragua, that place was so desperate. My goodness. It took us a couple of years to just get people healed enough to minister there. I mean, that's how desperate it was. But oh, the mercy and grace of God. So tonight, as we're here, it's kind of an intimate setting. There's not a lot of people. You have an opportunity. Judge yourself. Number one, judge yourself on your commitment or consecration to God. A lot of people, they have a soulish commitment. They have a soulish consecration. I said this. I struggled with it because I sat under some teaching. People talked about, you know, coming down many times It was a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And, you know, you need to just need to refresh your consecration, refresh your commitment to God. I just didn't like it. Because it felt like you were taking a step back. And so I asked the Lord one time, I said, what is it with all that? He said, don't worry about all that. He said, just give me your life. I said, that's simple. Then he said it like this, I gave you mine. Just give me yours. So all that was over. Because your life is not your own. The Bible says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. But the first thing we'll do, you can remove the little seal on the top of the bread, carefully if you will. The first thing we'll do is we'll talk about the broken body for just a moment. I know we usually turn to 1 Corinthians 11. But the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of Satan over your life. The Bible says there in the book of 1 John, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. The works of the evil one begin in the iniquity of our lives, the things that motivate us to sin once we get old enough to do it. Amen. That's a work of the devil. That's a work of the devil. That desire to break the law. And it's in every person. You say, well, both my parents were saints. It doesn't matter. You're still born a sinner. That's why you need to be born again. So he allowed his body, he allowed himself, can you imagine that? To endure beating, bruising, chastisement. What was he doing? He was making a way where there was no way. So that iniquitous spirit on the inside would be broken off of humanity. And that motivation to break the laws of God would not be there anymore. So that, listen, if you've never heard this, you need to hear this. So that for the first time, you can say no. You can say no to whatever it is. It may be something like me with drugs, but it could be hate, or it could be some great disappointment. It could be, you can say no to whatever that motivates that behavior. Amen? So as you hold it up tonight, break it between your fingers, and let me pray as I pray, you agree. Father, tonight we take this moment in time to judge ourselves. Lord, we thank you that iniquity is broken on the inside of us, but we're all a work in process. So Father, tonight we ask you to forgive us. Sins of omission, things we should have done, but we didn't do it, Lord. We beg your forgiveness and appropriate the blood into our lives. Lord, areas of our lives where we've not walked in love the way we should. We've been judgmental, critical. We haven't been your hand extended or your word spoken. We judge ourselves. Beg your pardon and ask your forgiveness. And by the power of your broken body, what you said in the communion ordinance, put yourself in remembrance of what this means and the significance of it tonight, and receive the bread in Jesus' name. Now carefully, if you will, remove the covering off the juice there. Be careful with that. You don't spill it. I love those songs we sang about the blood. The most awesome thing in the world, in the universe, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Cleanses us from sin and unrighteousness. Purchased power of the church. Purchased the church. We recognize the human being's blood from generation to generation carried the seed of the adversary in his iniquity until one man stepped on this planet who did not carry that trait in his spirit. Now today, every born-again believer has that same spirit in them. And there's only one reason. Is because the temple of who you are has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. For there's life in the blood. For there's life in the blood. Under the old covenant, They would slaughter multitudes of spotless lambs, and the blood would flow. And the sins of a nation would not be remitted, they would be forgiven. And they would lay the hands on the scapegoat, send them out into the wilderness. But when Jesus died on the cross, that way of doing things was finished. And the Bible says, a much better way. We have a better covenant based on better promises secured by the blood of Jesus. The blood says you're healed. The blood says you're saved. Come on, church. The blood says you're delivered. The blood says you're redeemed. The blood says you're righteous. The blood says you're holy. Father, in great honor of the blood of Jesus, what it means to us, what it's done for us. Here on this Easter weekend, we celebrate the blood and we receive of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and thank Him. Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now before we leave, we were getting ready to leave the other morning or something. We're flipping around on the TV, and the old David and Bathsheba was on. The one with Gregory Peck and Lana Turner, Gregory Peck. And so it was the scene in which Nathan, the prophet, told him the story of the guy that had the little pet sheep, the guy that had all the sheep. Said, that man's you. So, in the movie they depicted, which is true, I'm sure it happened. In the movie, they depicted the priesthood as wanting to stone Bathsheba. Because under the law, if you're caught in adultery, they stone you. So David interceded on her behalf. I like Gregory Peck. He's a great actor. But after he did that, they weren't buying it. So the way they did it in the movie, it was so cool. And it's raining, the weather's, you know, bad. And so he takes off and he's headed for the tabernacle. And he goes into the tabernacle and they're watching him. And he goes into the outer court. And he goes into the inner court and he stands right there in front of the Holy of Holies. There's not been any blood sacrifice. The priests are not there. Legally, he's supposed to drop dead. Uriah had just dropped dead a few weeks before. Uriah had died because he put his hand on the ark, steadying the ark. And he goes down and he falls on his face before the ark and he begins to cry out to God. And he begins to cry out, and as he does, he reaches up toward that ark and his hands are shaking. And he reaches up toward that ark. He's trying to commit suicide. He's written, and he puts his hands on that ark. And he finds mercy in the sight of God. Wow. I mean, we were stunned. We were like, because it's so powerful to understand that there was a whole nation at one time that served the same God that we do by such a strict law that even their priest would die if they did not get everything right. But one guy had a different heart, and he knew that there was one coming one day that would put all this right. Did you know his faith was in Jesus? In reality, read the Psalms, his faith. The Lord said unto my Lord. Who do you think he's talking about? My Lord. That same mercy. It's not near as inaccessible to us. It's right here. Don't live your life bound by sin. Don't let sin bind your mind. Don't live with thoughts that just keep you from living the abundant life. We've noticed something, Lee and I, we've not really said a lot, but we've been praying actually for a couple of years for a grace to come on Island Church. A last day's grace. And we're not at liberty to really talk about it right now. But man, it's happening. And when we see it happening in areas that we can't talk about, we know that it's fixing to start breaking out in areas that we can talk about. What a day to be serving God. I tell you, what a day. Stand on your feet if you will. Glad you came to church tonight. Did you learn something? What did you learn? I'm dead. Good. Everybody say, I'm dead. Say, I'm dead. Isn't that cool? Wow. Could you imagine how Paul got that revelation? I bet he was tormented by the devil. Could you think about, you know, you go preach and somebody come out, I remember you. You put my uncle in jail. What about Stephen's relatives? Woo! I bet the devil ever not, you know, who do you think you are? You know, who got up there preaching with Peter and John, the holy men of God. Who do you think? I guarantee he was tormented. You know, he spent 14 years in the Arabian, the real wilderness. And I could see him on his knees crying to God, I can't live with this. I can't live with this, man. I tell you, man, I just bring me to heaven. I just need to die. And God said, okay, I'll let you die. But I'm going to show you how first. See, that's the problem. Man can supply himself with a death, but he can't supply himself with a resurrection. So God provided us with a death so that we can have a resurrection. All the 2 billion Muslims in the earth pray this prayer. They say, oh Allah, or oh God, give us a death in which there is no life so that we can have a life in which there is no death. What do you think they're praying for? What you have. Wow. Lift your hands. Father, we worship you tonight. Thank you for what you did for us. And we do. We believe. We believe we're crucified with him. We believe we're buried with him. We believe we're risen with him and seated in heavenly places. We thank you for your substitution, our identification, and our union with him. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we leave tonight, we declare your protection and safety over all our church, those that are here, those that are not here, and all of our loved ones and those that concern us in our lives. Thank you, no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. 1,000 could fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. It will not come nigh us. Only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Father, as we leave tonight. In our travels, in the righteous labor of our hands, in our Easter celebration, Lord, all over the community, we thank you, Father. People are blessed and protected. We say no calamity, no tragedy in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you also that you stir our hearts. Lord, that each and every day we're confronted with people who need an answer. Thank you, we can be an answer. An answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil in their life, and a miracle for them. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love toward you. We love you so much. We leave tonight walking in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord. Here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.